The Toby Gribbin Show. Highlights.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Peter James is an award-winning author who's had 19 Sunday Times number one bestsellers. The latest intensely gripping installment in James's award-winning D.S. Roy Grace series, Picture You Dead, finds Detective Superintendent Roy Grace plunged into the mystifying and exclusive world of fine art when a priceless painting turns up in a car boot sale. And Peter is on the line with us here. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, Toby. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. So what's the inspiration behind the new book, Picture You Dead?
I guess there's two inspirations behind Picture You Dead. The first is that I love writing what I call the everyday sinister, like things that could happen to any of us. And my wife and I have always been big fans of going to car boot sales. And I think a lot of us who go to car boot sales have that dream that one day we're going to buy something that turns out to be priceless. And the central character in Picture You Dead, he's a small-time builder, she's a teacher, and they love car boot sales. They go most Sundays. And this particular Sunday, they see this horrible painting. It's an ugly, ugly old woman's face, but in this beautiful frame. And they buy it for 20 quid, but the plan is they're going to take it home, cut the picture out, put something they love in it. But when they get it home, they realize there's something underneath, another painting. And they very carefully remove the surface painting. And there is this stunning landscape with these two lovers in a medieval setting. Wow. And Antiques Roadshow, by sheer chance, is coming to Sussex. So we take it along. And the expert looks at it and he says, well, look, I can't tell you for sure whether this is genuine or not right now. I said, but it looks to me like a long-lost Fragonard from 1770. And I can tell you the last Fragonard sold at auction for £17 million, and that is when their nightmare starts.
Yeah.
Now that's, if you like, the principal setup for the story. And then the other inspiration was I met this amazing character called David Hantey back in 2015. David began life as forging Irish logbooks, and then in 1996 he discovered that he read an article that people in Hong Kong desperate to get out before the Hong Kong handover. So he started forging passports, and it was doing really well. He had orders for 3,000 at £1,000 each.
Wow.
And he bought a house in the center of Brighton and turned it into a full-on passport forging factory. He was, you know, binding, printing, binding, dispatching, and literally raking the money in. One fatal flaw in that, two spelling mistakes in the passports.
Oh.
They had Her Britannic Majesty spelt with a single N, and Her Majesty spelt M-A-G-E-S-T-Y rather than J. And right in the middle of all their happy days, the front doors kicked open and five of Brighton's finest boys in blue nick them. And he gets 5 years in jail, learns to paint in jail, and discovers he's absolutely brilliant at copying Modigliani, Picasso, and Lowry. Comes out of prison, and suddenly all these long-lost Picassos and Lowrys start turning up on the art market. He's rearrested. But then he realizes he's got a lot of interest from celebrities. And he thinks, well, what I'll do is I'll do these copies, but I'll put my own name on. Mm. And he had an exhibition in Brighton of his copies, which he asked me to open. This was 2015. And I always remember when I went to his house the first time, there was a blue plaque on the door, which said, David Henty, world's number one art forger. And I said, I thought you only got a blue plate when you were dead. He said, yeah, I forged it. Anyway, we had the art exhibition and he did really well. And he was so grateful, he gave me a Lowry. And we hung it, my wife and I, Laura and I, hung it at home. And we had an art expert to dinner by sheer chance a few weeks later, Tim Wannacott. He's been a television host himself on various shows about art. And I think he was a director of Sotheby's. And he looked at the Lowry and he said, wow, that's a lovely painting. I said, do you think it's original? And he looked at it for a couple of minutes. He said, there's nothing here that's telling me this is fake. So I said to David Henty, I said, can you do a forgery that's so good, that, let's say a Fragonard, because I'd always loved particularly Fragonard's Fate Gallant style of painting. And I said, could you fake a Fragonard so well that even the world's number one authority in Fragonard could not tell it was? And he said, absolutely. And he told me how he'd do it. And he said, you know, he said, I'll start with, it's all in the book. He said, I'll start with I've got a mate who's an antique dealer in France. There's loads of old church paintings from that period. So I get a church painting from around 1750, 1760. It probably cost me $4,000. I said, then I've got another mate who works in Brighton Museum. I get him to get me an old smock from that period. And I'd wear it the whole time so that I don't get any modern clothing fibres. And what I deliberately do is get some of the fibres from the smock into the paint. So if they ever carbon date it, it'll sort of show up from that period. And he kind of went on from there. There's all the different tricks of his trade.
That's quite clever, actually. So how did the process of writing this book compare to previous ones?
Well, what was great is that this story does revolve around one of the things I said to Dave Henty. I said, okay, so if you could create a fake so well it's not discernible, what do you do that for? And he said, mostly it's people these days who've got paintings at an incredibly high value, you know, 20, 40, 100 million, and they don't want to have the painting on show because of the insurance costs. So they put my copy up and they put the original on the vault. And I said, you know, have you ever been tempted to give them two copies? And he said, yeah, maybe. but I think one of the things that differentiated is that he is actually a central character in the book. I've changed his name to Daniel Hegarty, but he, very thinly veiled. So what was kind of quite fun was having a kind of a quasi-villain that was for real and I could meet up with. And I think that helped me get a lot of the kind of the feeling of authenticity. And what I did love was learning about skullduggery in the art world and just how easy it is for fakes to come into the market. He told me only about 4 years ago, he was in a car boot sale and he saw a painting for sale for £3 that looked like a Vanessa Bell. Vanessa Bell was Virginia Woolf's sister. Mm. She was quite an accomplished painter, not a big name painter. He said, I bought it. He said, I got home. I went to a museum what shows Vanessa Bell. And she got a very easy signature, just VB. I took a photograph, came home, I scrubbed off the signature that was on it, painted VB on, copied it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Put a few, chemicals on to age it. I put it on eBay. Might be Vanessa Bell. Sold it for 800 quid.
Wow.
A year later, he walks into an art gallery in Lewes in Sussex, and there it is hanging on the wall, original Vanessa Bell, £6,000.
Now, you've had 19 Sunday Times number one bestsellers. Does that still excite you every time you get one?
It so does. It's still the biggest thrill. I remember when I first had my first book published back in 1981, my dream was to one day walk into an airport and just see one copy of my book on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I used to dream of just having 1 week. I would die happily if I could have had 1 week in the top 10, number 10. And I get a huge kick out of being in the bestseller charts. It's a magic feeling. I just love the idea that people are buying the books and enjoying them. And now, with the television series as well, and also with the stage plays, I've got a new stage play with Roy Gray's stage play called Wish You Were Dead that starts on national tour in February. It's going to be up in Scotland. It'll be playing certainly Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Yeah, sounds exciting.
And I love that. It'll be my sixth stage play. I remember when the first stage play came on and it was dead simple. And Tina Hobley was in it and she played this villain. And she turned to me and she said, "You must feel like God. We were all in your head and now we're all standing on the stage." Really made me laugh. But I love the live theatre. I love sitting at the back of the theatre and watching the audience. And I've learned quite a lot just from what they react to. I've learned that people do love a female villain.
Yeah. 72% of us apparently enjoy reading crime novels. What do you think it is about crime novels that draws us to them?
It is... an amazing statistic. I think it's not just one thing. I think it's a number of things. I think we all quite enjoy solving puzzles. And I think part of the fun people have with crime novels is trying to beat the detective to the solution. Then I think at a much deeper level, one of the things that's going on, we're in a dark world.
Yeah.
And I think the crime novel enables us to be scared in a safe way. We open the pages, we come across maybe a gruesome murder or two, we get some thrills, some spills. But at the end of the book, hopefully Roy Grace or Rebus or whoever the detective is going to take us to a safe place. He's going to lock up the bad guys. We're going to close the book. And suddenly the world's going to feel a slightly better place. I think there's that element to it. And I think also we are fascinated. What is the difference between you and me and the person who can kill? Is there a difference? We're all capable of killing. We're all capable of strangling someone or stabbing him with a knife, but most of us luckily don't. I think we are alongside that, we're programmed as human beings to survive. And I think that if you see a bad car crash and we kind of look, and I don't think we look because we're ghouls or vultures. I think we look to see what can we learn from that, that we can avoid ever getting in that situation. And I think the crime novel, the same applies. What can we learn from that person getting murdered or that person getting horribly assaulted to make sure that neither I nor any of my loved ones are ever going to put ourselves in that position? I think that's going on at a much deeper level. And I think also we do enjoy being thrilled. And I think few books provide that same thrill that a crime novel provides.
And maybe in particular, some kind of murder mystery, the ending can be quite satisfying, that it's all tied up nicely.
I think the ending is the most important thing. What takes me the longest time when I'm writing is that first page. I can spend up to a couple of weeks sometimes on getting that first page right, because I think the first page sets the tone for the book. And then the ending, if you take your reader on a journey, and you know, some people will read a book quickly, some might spend several days, if not weeks, reading it bit by bit. You've got to deliver an ending that they go either wow, or you know, I think the worst thing somebody could go at the end of a book is go, oh, is that it? You've got to make sure that, and I always love trying to catch people out with just one little twist at the end, just when you think the reader thinks they're ahead of Roy Grace and ahead of me, I'd like to just pull the rug slightly.
Now, of course, your Roy Grace series has been made into a TV series, which must be exciting. Did you ever imagine that would happen?
Well, I never imagined it would happen so well. I've had three previous, before Roy Grace, books adapted into miniseries, and I was never happy with any of them. So I was really scared with Roy Grace, because I remember, you know, if you have a bad adaptation, it can actually hurt you as a writer. I had a pretty bad one a few books back, and I was really worried, but I am overjoyed at a number of things. I think, firstly, the casting of John Sim as Roy Grace has just been masterly. Apart from the fact that he's really taken the trouble to get into the role. I have a real-life former detective, homicide detective called Dave Gaylor, who I've worked with for years and trying to get the authenticity of the books. And John has worked with him too, just brilliantly. And we've had, I mean, the series has done incredibly. We've been the highest ratings across all channels every Sunday that Grace has been on. We even beat Peaky Blinders, which I was very pleased about. I love that show too. They're filming again at the moment for next year. And I've got a cameo. I play a detective in one of them. I'm sitting at the back of the detective's room. If you blink, you'll miss me.
Yeah.
But I think the casting has just been amazing. When I wrote the first Roy Grace Dead Simple back in 2003-04, if I had to do a photo fit of my character, I would have come up with John Sim.
Well, where are we able to find your latest book, Picture You Dead?
You can order it, obviously, on places like Amazon. You can find it in your local independent bookshops. And I always say to people, do try to support your independent bookshops. If it hadn't been for the indies, I don't know I'd ever have remained a published author. They were the ones that supported me through my kind of early days of writing. But it'll be in pretty much every supermarket that sells book and everywhere. I'd have to hope that everyone who buys Picture You Dead will have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, many thanks for joining us today. It's been very interesting to talk to you.
Toby, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. Great to talk to you too.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The throbbing pulse of sound. The Toby Gribben Show.